Welcome to the Magic and Mindfulness Podcast. You're joining me, Amy Maxwell, on my journey of understanding the world of light magic in order to cultivate mindful living. I'm so excited for you to join me on this path of discovery. Welcome back, everyone. Today, I'm chatting to personal expansion coach, Selina Martin, on transformation and embodying your vision through what you wear. I absolutely love clothes and expressing myself. I've worked in fashion marketing for almost my whole career, working for and on brands like Burberry, Tommy Hilfiger, Calvin Klein, just to name a few. And I even did a short stint at British Vogue as well. So working in fashion has been an interesting ride, to say the least. And since moving further into the spiritual space recently, it's a fairly newfound territory where I feel I've subconsciously been trying to navigate how to still align to looking and feeling like me. I believe that clothes and what you wear can be an extension of who you are and how you want to show up in the world. So when I met Selina, who also has a huge passion for fashion, I was so excited to chat more to her about how we can energetically align to our true selves through clothes. So during our chat, we discuss our wardrobe and the energy we're calling in through what we wear, how we can embody our vision to become the best version of ourselves right now, and acknowledging our true vision and waking up to this. So the sponsors of this episode are House of Formlab, a mystical shop in Amsterdam, and they kindly gifted me a necklace to wear for my chat with Selina, which is malachite crystal. It's used for transformation and calling in that personal power. It's a very decadent looking necklace, and I think it also is really unique. So I love that for this chat, I could wear this necklace and feel super empowered. I was so inspired listening to Selina and the journey that she's taken to get what she deems her own unique and personal vision. And I'm sure for many of you listening, you're going to hopefully be able to take away tips on how you can start embodying your own vision right now. So let's do it. Let's start the show. So hi, Selina, how are you doing today?
Hi, Amy. Yes, I'm doing great, actually, because the sun is shining very gloriously on this Friday in September. And whenever the sun is shining, I'm doing good. I'm feeling great. So, yeah.
Amazing.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. I mean, it's sunny here as well. We're both in the Netherlands recording this in slightly different cities. Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm on my countdown now to nearly go on holiday to Mexico. So I'm very excited for a break, but I'm really excited to record with you. It's actually like going to be the highlight of my day. So I'm very happy that you're joining me today.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm also excited for this conversation.
Yeah, me too, because we're going to talk about embodying your vision and ways in particular we can kind of create expansion by what we wear and how we show up for ourselves every day. So this topic is something I'm dying to chat about, and we can go into a little bit more, but maybe nice before we dive straight in, would you mind just telling listeners a little bit about yourself and what embodying your vision means to you?
Yes. Thank you so much for that invitation. Oh my gosh. Well, embodying the vision, just, it's such a big thing. And for me, it's about constantly, consistently, continuously stepping into that next version of you. So in the end, of course, like this ultimate version is already here. But we also have our human side, which is conditioned from a young age. And then we experience this waking up moment somewhere along the way. For some of us, it starts in the beginning of their 20s, and for others, it's when they turn 60. It also doesn't really matter when it happens for you, but when it does, nothing is ever really the same anymore. So you go on this quest of knowing who you are and what it is you actually desire, and also what the vision is that you have for yourself, for your life, for who you invite into your life, what your work is going to be like. And so embodying the vision is about walking the path of self-discovery and trusting your vision, that is what works for you, that is the perfect match for you in this lifetime, here on earth, and in the here and now also. Because I think we have this tendency to, when we talk about, I have this vision for myself, it's about this and this and this and this, we put it in the future. Mm-hmm. And so for me, the embodying part of embodying the vision is very much about who can I and do I need to be in the here and now to become or to move towards that picture that I have put somewhere down the line in the future. So how can I take the future and like put it on a leash and get it into the here and now?
Yeah.
So it's just a wonderful journey that I think we're all on. And I invite everyone to stop putting it into the future and acknowledging and experiencing that it's available already here for you now.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. I'm so inspired already just by these 2 minutes of your opening. That was so nice. And just looking at you, Selena, we're obviously recording on Zoom for those listening, but you're just, the light is shining on you and you just look so angelic.
Thank you.
Saying that. So yeah, really awesome. Thanks for explaining. And I think you're kind of maybe hinting a little bit about, you know, embodying the vision and kind of how we, especially I think in the last year for a lot of us, myself included, have sort of woken up to that sort of state of, you know, what is my true like vision and where do I want to get to? Was there a sort of moment for you in your life where you kind of felt that yourself? Was there sort of like a waking up period? And would you mind telling me a bit about that if that's the case?
Yes, yes. Yeah. It also feels very nice to go back to that like awakening moment in time. I think I've had several, and I think we all have several. So the first one that came up for me was going back to 2013 now. In that moment, I was actually still working as a school teacher in a primary school. So I had a job there to teach and also to coach. Mm-hmm. But the school system, as it still is, unfortunately, here in Holland, didn't fit me anymore. And so I got discouraged. I got like burned out signals. I was just overworked, not having a deep sense of happiness, got sick immediately in every vacation that came by, just as a release of all the stress that I was holding on to.
Yeah.
So it is often in the darker moments, of course, that we have this awakening moment, like, oh my gosh, this has to stop. I choose. It's in the choosing and in the intention behind the choosing that the power lies. Like, I choose a different life for myself. And to be honest, to be radically honest, I hold a different vision for myself. So, okay, if that's the case, then what do I need to do in the now to make those changes? And the choice that I made at that moment was to go back to school, actually. And I dove into a course here in Amsterdam at a fashion and branding academy. Mm-hmm. To learn more about image styling. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is so funny now that I'm looking back.
No, I love it. I love listening to this.
This came about because in the time I was still studying, I worked in retail a lot and I loved it. I've always loved it. I love clothes. Mm-hmm. It's like this, it's a fairy tale world to be in and to be able to see a person walking into the store, scanning them like on all levels that you have the ability to scan someone, and then just to know what will fit them perfectly.
Yeah.
And to help them see their own light through the clothes and the looks that you help them put together.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've seen this twinkle in the eye moment in the fitting room for so many times, and it has inspired me in so many ways. And so when I got to this point in 2013, like, oh my gosh, what am I gonna do next? Or what vision do I hold? I knew I wanted to keep guiding people one-on-one, and especially women, because I felt like women have such an important role also in co-creating these new age times and this new age way of life. And so, yeah, I got into the course. I learned a lot. But I also knew immediately that for me, it wasn't about the clothes per se. It wasn't about fashion. It wasn't about trends. It always was about bringing you this visual, energetic embodiment tool,
right,
that helps you stand up straight, mm-hmm, radiate your light, giving you that confidence boost. And yeah, so clothes to me are so much more than cloth, and also so much more than something that is trendy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, that was one of those awakening moments.
Beautiful. And then, yeah, I love hearing you talk about clothes. And I think the reason I was giggling before is because if you've seen Selena's Instagram, I mean, you really are embodying the vision by what you wear. And that's, you know, also why I wanted to discuss this with you in particular today, because yeah, I also have worked in the fashion world as well, in the more marketing side of things. And same as you, I think throughout my whole life, I think it started at when I was super young, and I used to go shopping with my nan, actually, and she would like take us shopping, and we didn't have much money growing up. And I think whenever we could actually buy something really that made us feel amazing, like it just shifted the whole of, yeah, my energy and the energy of the people around you. And I think that's something like I've also sort of used throughout my life. And I think there's finding a balance between, you know, taking it too far where you sort of become over-reliant on, you know, that for giving you fulfillment, which is, I think, important. Why you say it's not about trends, actually. And there's, you know, there's ways that you can give yourself that empowerment through clothes, you know, in a sustainable way. But so, Selena, then, so you kind of got to this point in your career when you actually really bravely then took the leap to kind of leave your teaching role, and then you studied, and then what was the step after this that came?
Well, actually, the course I took was a 6-month course, and after that I just started my business from scratch, really.
Yeah.
So I really in the very, very beginning, it was all about personal styling. Mm-hmm. And this is a few years back, so it wasn't really a normal thing to do in here in the Netherlands to work with a personal stylist if you were not like an artist or an actor,
okay,
or someone, I don't
a celebrity
know, celebrity in any way.
Mm-hmm.
So I was having a pretty hard time because I felt like I was standing in the desert, like selling my goods, but no one could hear me. No one could see me. And everyone was like, yeah, I like that idea, but it's so luxurious.
Mm.
And this is maybe a global, let's say, problem, that we don't always feel worthy enough to give ourselves, to grant ourselves a gift as this.
Yeah.
So if it's business related, then okay, fine. But if it's just for you personally to gain whatever it is you want to gain, then it feels more awkward or not always in place to make that investment. So I had a pretty rough startup period. But also I have a great network. So I actually started working with a lot of actors, artists. I work with a very internationally well-known Dutch DJ for things as the MTV Awards, for example. I co-created a makeover TV program that got launched, and we did a full season here on Dutch TV. And so a lot of great things were happening, but I also felt like, oh, wait, no, I'm now only touching the surface of the depth that I feel.
Right.
That goes along with this, with my vision. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So I was like, no, this is not going in the right direction.
Yeah.
But I am making money now. So, you know, mm-hmm. So ego was actually happy. He was saying, yeah, but you're doing good. And this is safe. And
right.
why now start over again?
You
know, yeah. You're doing good. Stay here. But I felt in the depths of my core, like, no, I'm not doing what I am supposed to be doing with this knowledge and this way of looking at things, this perspective that I have, which yeah. feels as a wonderful contribution to further personal and spiritual growth for everyone.
Yeah.
To really expand also, not only in consciousness, but also in how we present ourselves. Yeah.
No, that's so amazing.
Yeah. I went back to school again, actually.
Oh, did you? Again?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. And it was purely for myself because I felt in every cell of my body that I really wanted to blend those two worlds together of coaching and mm-hmm. consciousness expansion and using clothes as a tool instead right. of only using it as a fashion statement.
Got it.
And so I went back to school. I did. I got a degree in intuitive coaching.
Oh.
And of course, every time you go back to school, you also get put back in front of the mirror. So I was looking and facing myself again in a very raw and beautiful way, and discovered so much more about why this is calling me so much. Why I had to get back to it. Why coaching is, yeah, it's just a joy that I carry inside of me, and that I feel like I need to use this in an efficient way. And so after getting my degree, I really started merging and blending the two in my business. And so for me, like the business as it is right now, it started in, I think 4 years after I initially started my business.
Right.
So yeah. So
it's
now
taken
we're in
a long time.
2017, 2018.
Yeah.
It took a pretty long time to get like the formula right.
Yeah. But that's amazing. And thanks for taking us through like all the steps, because I think it's also important, like, you know, it's a tricky one, isn't it? Because I think we all want to kind of go after our dreams, but at the same time, you know, it's great that you've actually refined that vision to get to your ultimate place of where you want to get to. And also, I think, you know, moving through that process of like listening to your intuition when things, you know, were going quite well with, you know, with the fashion side, and then still in your gut having that feeling of this is still not quite right, and actually like just being brave to do that and actually like take the leap, because that's so scary. And I think there's a lot, I know actually like so many of my friends have reached out to me this year, especially after COVID. I think it's really woken everyone up to saying, you know, what am I doing? And like, should I go back to study? And, you know, some of my friends have really high powered position jobs that they've worked across their whole life.
Yeah.
And then to feel this sort of misalignment actually is really,
exactly.
really tough. And yeah. So congrats for like actually taking the leap and getting to the place now that you're, you know, really doing well. So I think that must be really a nice time to reflect on what's happened to you.
Yeah.
to go back there.
Yeah, it is. It's something that I wish for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
To go through and also to find the courage when you do see and acknowledge the misalignment that is currently showing up in your here and now
to go for it.
Yeah, to go for it.
Yeah.
To really go for it. The good thing is, or the great news is, like the moment that you do, the moment that you allow yourself to actually see your vision in its full potential and to gradually, like every step you take, it just rings with joy, with laughter, with expansion, with, I don't know, it just feels so right, you know, you just know you're on the right track.
Yeah.
And still, it's going to be hard. You're going to be triggered. People are going to have an opinion. And yet, by returning to yourself and knowing this is correct, this is what I should be doing.
And you can feel that, right? I think you can really, I think we've been conditioned so much growing up to kind of, I don't know about you, Selena, but the route I took, and I think everything happens for a reason, but for certainly when I was sort of making that decision, also like when you're, this is a huge conversation in itself, I feel, but when you're 18 and you're deciding what you want to do for the rest of your life, like, you know, I was in this sort of predicament of wanting to actually really pursue music. So I did like music A level and actually did like really well in this. But then I was also doing marketing and, you know, like societal pressure. I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to make any money in music. Yeah. So I decided to go down the marketing route. And now it's also why I think I found sound healing later, because it's kind of like, you know, it's always been there. But it's really tough, I think, to kind of, you know, just go down a route and then later on you've kind of worked at something your whole life. In the instance of both me and you, we have the same sort of, you know, identity crisis that sort of happened. And then, yeah, it's sort of whether you want to take that leap or not. And I think, you know, I sort of hope, same as you, that people that do take the leap and that they really feel and embody, as you're saying, the vision is something that you can only find in fulfillment from. And maybe you're not going to make as much money as your, you know, other jobs, but maybe you will. And that's, I think, a risk that you should take. And I think it's nice to see people like yourself that have done really well from taking this leap of faith.
Yes, exactly. And to also to come back to the beginning, where we also introduced clothes as like this tool in walking that path and helping you with this embodiment. It's amazing what a small adjustment in your clothing choice can do for uplifting your mindset, uplifting your state of being, actually. And if we look at it from an energetic level, we know also scientifically that the heart has a magnetic field. So when we dress to this level of our version of ourselves that we desire to be, we instantly also tap in energetically into the signature, the vibrational signature that goes along with that. And our hearts, our magnetic fields actually increase. And by increasing the magnetic field, we have a huge pull. So we get, we have like, we can call it charisma, but actually it's just a science-based thing that, that's happening at that moment. And so people will see you in a different way, listen to you in a deeper way, acknowledging your words. Yeah, it's just, to me, it's amazing that all these things come together and can be the effect of a little thing as choosing the right outfit to bring it down to that.
100%. Yeah, I was going to say, let's just definitely get into the power dressing aspect, because I think that's a really exciting part of what you do. And I think it's something that, you know, I'm always inspired by seeing on your page, and clothes, like I've said, has always empowered me as well. Do you kind of feel then, Selena, by the way, that was a really interesting piece about the heart. I didn't know that actually that changes scientifically, and it makes so much sense. And I think, you know, if you're putting on this like piece of clothes that you're really excited about, or even like a small little accessory, whatever it might be to you, there is that shift of like sort of, feeling like you can sort of accomplish anything in self-empowerment. Do you deem things like, do you deem what you do also in a sense of as power dressing? Do you sort of like identify with that terminology?
Yeah, it's funny because I think we all have a certain image of what power dressing is. For me, it takes me back to the 80s. So I'm seeing
power
like
suits.
Big shoulders, like power suits, like everyone has big hair. Everything was big. Yeah, there was nothing small about the 80s. It was just outrageous and very much in your face. So, so power dressing nowadays is still very much about bold colors, like sharp cuts in clothes, and maybe even cutouts. You know, you see a lot of dresses with cutouts. But then for me, I've actually introduced a different term for it, and I call it M power dressing. So an empower look isn't only a look that will help you be noticed by other people,
mm-hmm.
but it's actually an outfit and a look that lifts you up.
Yeah.
And also that grounds you down and that boosts your confidence and that opens your heart. So instead of only using it as an outside tool.
Right. I see.
Mm-hmm. You see, so I'm inviting you to use clothes as an inside tool.
Yes. Yeah. That's amazing. That's beautiful. And how would you say that? Like EM, empower?
Yeah, EM, empower. Yeah.
Empower. Yeah, that's amazing. I love that too. And I think that's suddenly, I think, a shift that's been happening, right? As that old school approach of, you know, dressing for others, but also like now more dressing for yourself and how that makes you feel. And I think also maybe to talk a little bit about how we dress in the spiritual space as well. Because I think I've sort of been moving more and more into the spiritual space in the last couple of years. And it sounds a bit weird, and maybe it's just also my own sort of insecurities, but I think coming from a sort of different backgrounds, as in sort of this corporate, you know, also I have lots of tattoos and I'm not sort of like the normal stereotypical spiritual person, I guess. I mean, who is as well, I guess, but I've always felt a little bit, I suppose, different and a little bit afraid to kind of step into my own, you know, self. So like if I want to wear a designer handbag, then I would always feel like I wouldn't want to bring that to like a, you know, because I feel like, oh, well, actually it's sort of attached to the ego. And there's this like spirituality and ego entwinement that I'm also really conscious of. And I don't want people to dress me, to sort of judge me for dressing in a certain way. Like, have you ever felt like that, Sina? Because you're also kind of, I think, really good in the sense that you don't seem to shy, or maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but at least from your persona on Instagram, it seems that you're kind of happy to identify with like beautiful clothes as art.
Yes, very much. Yeah. Very much. Yes. I'm very happy to identify with beautiful clothes. I'm very happy to identify with luxury. I'm very happy to identify with like eating oysters on a Tuesday afternoon. so yes, because first of all, I totally get what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just a very good example, actually, of collective conditioning and collective associations on certain topics and certain ways, and certain people and certain thoughts. And well, we all know where that goes. well, looking to this from a human perspective, we all want to be embraced and we all want to be taken in by the group and be seen and acknowledged and accepted by this new environment, you know, where we're stepping into. So we have this conditioned way of doing and thinking that it is then needed to alter ourselves to fit in completely into this new environment.
Yeah.
And in that way, we can also use clothes, because actually it's a very easy way to use clothes in that way.
Yeah.
To just look around, observe, okay, so I now want to join this group. What do they look like? Great. Do I have something similar in my closet? Also great. I will put that on, because that will give me like this entrance point into this new space.
Uh-huh.
I did this a lot. I experimented with this, I think, for 10, 15 years of my life, especially during high school and university.
Mm-hmm.
I always had this innate interest in observing and understanding the way groups work. And so I would observe a certain type of people, and then I would alter myself like a chameleon. Like, I would be like completely one of them. I would dive in.
To try and fit in.
To try to fit in. But also it was a game to me. So to collect all the information that was there. And then step back. Okay, next one. So during these years of my life, I was never completely myself.
Yeah.
Because I was always like, oh, now I'm trying this.
Yeah.
Okay. It doesn't really fit me. Okay. Going back. Now I'm trying this. Okay. Also doesn't really fit me. I'm going back. So it was fun. It was fun. But it took me a while to really progress and create my own personal style.
Yeah. And so, it takes time, right? I think it takes time.
It does take time. And I think it goes alongside with the path of discovering who you are.
Yeah. And I think it's like, I don't know, I'm really trying to kind of check myself when I do that in the future, because I am really conscious of it. And I think there are people in the space such as yourself actually that I look to and I think, oh yeah, well, you know, if she's wearing what she wants and she's looking this way, why can't I? And you make it look, you know, it really syncs with spirituality in its own modern way. And I think that, you know, we're so, like you said, we kind of like, even going back to the school days, put like labels on everyone and everything. Yeah. But why do we do that? And like, why can't I have worked hard for something that I've, you know, bought myself and or not, or if someone's bought me a nice bag or whatever and I feel good in it, then why should someone shame me? And it's happened actually, and it's happened. Yes. And I've been called out for it. And it's really upset me because I'm sensitive as well. And, you know, it's like, yeah, I would never sort of put a shame on someone for not having something more luxurious either, you know, if they feel good in what they wear. And
but I think it's a very, very on point example of like the old spirituality.
Right.
In those days, and it still lingers in the now.
Yeah.
Because we're in the transition, of course.
Mm-hmm.
That we look up to a guru,
mm-hmm.
we look up to the leader of that spiritual group, who then makes all the rules, kind of,
right.
and says what is right, what is enlightened, and what is not.
Mm-hmm.
And we're moving in the now away from that, from the outer guru, as it were, and we're connecting with the inner guru. And so also linking this to me happily enjoying a luxurious and luxurious lifestyle, for me that this is just a pure manifestation of self-love. And it also has to do, of course, with firmly standing in your self-worth.
Yeah. Oh, I love that, Selena. And I think it kind of goes back to an episode that I recorded in the last season on manifestation. It's just reminded me, and the lady I interviewed there was also saying, you know, it's okay to have this desire to better yourself and to kind of manifest the best version of yourself, and sort of, you know, want to level up. And I think that's also something that we kind of put ourselves in a box of, we can only stay at this point because of the people that we surround ourselves and what we've you know, been conditioned to think is, you know, is where we sit within society. And it's, I totally agree. I think there's something so powerful about owning that and knowing that you can step into this version of yourself, and with the work that you're doing with like embodying that self and being proud of that, and just admitting that, I think, is a really also brave thing to do.
Exactly. And not, and I would like to move even beyond admitting and going and grounding into the space of allowing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Allowing yourself to express your true self, your frequency, your core vibration, your whatever you want to call it, your soul, freely, to freely express who you are. And also alongside that, and this is also the name of my one-on-one program, Express Your Expansion. So it is this simultaneous moving, this motion is what I want to say, about leaving behind conditions, conditioning, programming, leaving behind lack of whatever.
Yeah.
And simultaneously stepping into embodying and expressing the expansion that you are currently living, experiencing, breathing in the here and now. Yeah. So I have this, I don't know why this comes up, but I have this core thought that has been with me for like ages. It's actually very simplistic. If, or let's say when, to have a positive starting point, when we all do what we love in all ways, in all different ways that are possible,
yeah,
there will be world peace.
Yeah.
Like if we can just be and allow yourself to be who you are, allow the other to be the unique self that he or she is, to cultivate our innate talents, to express ourselves in a free and joyous way, then my God, you know, we would have a very different world.
A game changer.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Yeah, thanks, Selena. That's really beautiful. And I think if we talk about, you know, when it comes to things that we wear to feel empowered, I also looking at your background as well as we're recording, and I can see some crystals in the background.
Yes, certainly.
I think, you know, we also just before we clicked record, I think it's nice to touch upon, like we were also talking about crystals and how we can sort of use them as like a secret weapon for ourselves, actually. And I know that you're also really passionate about crystals. So I thought nice, like we've talked a bit about clothes, but is there sort of specific, you know, clothes you wear on certain days? Like for me, I'll wear like a malachite crystal if I want to feel like really transformed, or sometimes like a little piece of rose quartz, I'll put on my desk for self-love or something like this, and use crystals for meditation. I'm just curious, like, do you have any like little routines, or do you also carry crystals around? I would love to know.
Yeah, I don't wear crystals like on a daily basis because I have a very high sensitive system.
Mm-hmm.
So to carry crystals on me is really like, wow, okay.
It's too much.
Yes, it can be too much.
Yeah.
So to stay centered, I actually don't wear crystals on me, but I do have a lot of them here in my house, and I do use them. I use them daily. I also use them in one-on-one sessions with my clients. So I will just go to my little cabinet, which is here on the left. You can't see it, but it's here. It has a really great selection of crystals, and then just intuitively, I'll know by tuning in to the frequency of the person that I am meeting later on in session, which crystals I need to bring with me.
Yeah.
And so for me, like a few like ultimate favorites. Of course I have to know the English name now. So maybe you can help me. It's selenite.
Oh, selenite.
Selenite.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Selenite is one of my favorites. It's also linked to my name, actually. So,
oh yeah, true. Yeah.
So yeah. I found that out way down the line. Like, oh my gosh, this makes so much sense. So this is one of my favorite crystals because it's the crystal that goes with my name.
Yeah.
So it's a very cleansing, light and high vibrant crystal, which I love to use to draw an energy circle or to do some protection or cleansing or clearing with. And I think this is of late, but another favorite is a very dark smoky quartz.
Oh yeah, nice. I love
smoky and quartz. I actually have a little one, but of course you know, and probably listeners maybe also will know, that the size doesn't matter.
No.
the vibrations are there.
Yeah.
And so I will use that one actually to sit on.
Okay.
Sit on during sessions.
Yeah.
So that I can be the grounded space holder.
Oh, I love that. That's a great one.
Because when I'm working one-on-one, all my channels are open.
Mm.
So it helps me to stay here and to not go flying around and into all abstract things.
I'm really going to steal that, Selena. I've really struggled with that recently, actually, of sort of like kind of trying to stay in my own realm. And I actually went to a Reiki healing a couple of days ago because I was feeling very out of this world. And he said, when you're channeling, are you channeling for yourself or are you channeling via source? And I said, well, I'm sort of giving it out from myself. And he's like, no, you need to like, so now I'm going to take that because I think it's really, well, yeah, when you're starting to work in this space, it can really sort of be a drainer if you're not working your energy in the right way. I'm sort of fine tuning my process at the moment. So this is a good tip. I'm definitely stealing that. Thanks.
Yeah. And then to bring it back to clothes, I'm also wearing white at the moment.
Yeah.
I've been going through some color phases. I actually wrote a post about it not long ago.
Yeah.
I had a black face for a really long time.
Yeah.
It had its purpose and its function.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved into dark blue or navy
mm-hmm.
that also had its function and its purpose. And now I'm choosing white.
And do you do that intuitively or is there sort of a seasonal approach that you take?
No, it's intuitively, but I've just seen my wardrobe turning into a full white wardrobe over like the last 2 years. It's also been amplified during COVID.
Mm.
So it helps me to to literally stand and stay centered in the light.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah,
it's just interesting, isn't it, to observe that, I think, with our clothes and how we feel, like even sometimes when you're going into the office or you're working online and you sort of see people all turn up in black because it's like, you know, a dreary day or you just want to get cozy. And I always find that really fascinating how like, we use clothes to like reflect how we feel or how we want to feel. But sorry, I cut you off. Was there any more crystals that you wanted to share or were they, I just got excited about that tip.
I'm looking to everything that I have here. Well, it's funny because I think those two are my
favorites now,
like my main tools that I use the most.
Yeah.
And then I'm having this ridiculously cool love affair with sage.
Okay.
Been using it almost daily.
Yeah.
And cacao.
And are you cleansing yourself with the sage or just the space that you're in?
Or a bit both. Of both.
Yeah.
Yeah, both. A little bit of both. Mm-hmm. And certainly beforehand and also afterwards. It's just really nice to...
Yeah.
To,
that's interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. I think with the sage piece, actually, like I've not really ever loved sage, but recently also I felt this real deep need for cleansing. It's really interesting that you've just said that, actually, because I've just sort of started observing it in the last couple of months. I wonder if there's something bigger going on there astrologically. Yes.
I'm saying yes to that because every time I think it's just me.
Yeah.
And then a friend of mine is a really well-known astrologer, astrologist here in Holland. And she's actually also, she lives in Harlem.
Oh, okay.
And then I'll call her or I'll send her a text. She's like, no, you're right. It's not you.
Yeah.
This is going on. I'm like, what?
That's why I wanted to say it. Cause I was like, it's so interesting whenever these things happen. I agree. It's never just you. And there's always a reason behind it. It's I feel like there's still some heavy shit in the air at the moment, like in general. I don't know.
But, oh, yes.
Oh, I need to meet your friend.
I will connect you.
Have a coffee with her. But yeah, thank you for sharing your crystals. And I think in terms of your clothing choices and sort of how you're moving with that as well, it's really interesting. And maybe some a nice sort of end or near end is to sort of share with listeners, like, what are some of the ways that they can do at home to show up for themselves? I would love to know if you've got any tips.
I think a great place to start is just go into your bedroom or whatever room you have that your wardrobe is in. Open the doors of the closet, go take a chair or sit on the bed and just really take the time to like review what is in there. And also which stories, which conditioning thoughts are connected to those items. Then after that, after you've like you've reviewed, you've observed, you've like, okay, yes, this is, oh, this is really old me, this is really new me, this is an, this was an experiment, but I don't really think it fits anymore. Like, you know,
right.
You go through it like that. And then you start the decluttering process. And of course, here comes the quote of all quotes by Marie Kondo. Does it spark joy?
It's so true, though. It's so
yeah.
true. It's
yeah.
so true.
and like, get everything out of there. Like, every piece. You'll be astounded by how much is actually in there.
Yes.
I promise you. And which is also really fascinating to know is that usually we only wear about 20 to 25% of all the items that we own.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of excess, old, not serving energy hanging in your wardrobe. And so that's why I think it's a good place to start.
That's a really good point, actually. When you were saying that, I was like, oh my God, my wardrobe is disgusting at the moment. It's such a mess. I was like, God, I think after this chat, I'm going to actually go and cleanse my wardrobe, really.
Yeah.
Because it's, yeah, it gets to the stage where you kind of cling on to things that you're like, oh, maybe I should, you know, maybe I'm going to wear this at some point,
yeah.
or, oh, it fit me once, or,
yep.
And it's so true. I've never actually thought about going through my wardrobe in terms of thinking about the energy that it gives me. I think that's a really new and interesting way to think of your wardrobe and what you're bringing into your day energetically through what you wear. I think that's beautiful. So I'm definitely going to do that. And I'm already thinking of, yeah, certain things in my head where I'm like, oh, whenever I wear that, I don't know, something bad happens, or
yeah,
you know, and you kind of hang on to that through your clothes. Do you also cleanse your clothes? I'm just curious now, actually.
No, I've actually never intentionally cleansed my clothes. I do have and maintain, have maintained now for quite a few years, a very small wardrobe.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So everything that's in there is just how do you say that? Just all goes with each other. So
right.
The items aren't that many, but the looks are multiple.
Yeah.
So I can do a lot with it.
And that's cool. And then do you sort of give your clothes then to charity and to friends?
Yeah, I'll... you have like different companies that that you can give or actually sell your clothes to. So I'm
yeah.
a pretty good fan of The Next Closet.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you have outside, you have these bins where you can put your clothes in so they can or be recycled or be being sent to a place where they would need clothes. But I have to say that the biggest profit is in not buying too much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really making conscious decisions in what you buy, where it comes from, the durability of the material, just how the fabric was made, who made it, under what conditions.
Yes.
So I'm really conscious and picky in what I buy, also with that in mind.
Yeah, I think that's really great. I'm just so glad you touched on that. I'm also so similar. And I think it's sort of been more of a conscious effort, in particularly in the last couple of years, where I've really said no to buying from Zara or H&M's because I just, and I think also that energy shows up in the clothes because of where it comes from. And it's again, like coming back to that feeling of, you know, when you're wearing something, yes, it might've cost you more, but you know, it's made well and you feel so much better. And also I just find when I wear something a little bit different as well, like, I mean, maybe just going back to the ego, but I feel like I get complimented from it loads because people are like, you're shining more, you're, you know, your light comes through. And yeah, no, but thanks for touching on the kind of the sustainability part and the, yeah, where it's made aspect, because I think there's still a huge crisis in clothes. I mean,
oh my gosh,
it's horrendous. So yeah, thanks for touching upon that. I think it's really important. But yeah, thanks, Selena, for chatting to me today. I mean, this conversation has been so nice, and just like a huge passion of mine is clothes. I'm really happy to have found someone that kind of shares that. And I know that we're not the only people, particularly in the spiritual space. So I also would think it's nice for others that have kind of, you know, had these thoughts or feelings of clothes and in the space, or even not just in the spiritual space, to connect with us after and carry on the conversation. And I would love to just ask you to share a little bit more about how people can connect with you after as well, if they enjoyed this chat.
Yeah, well, I've enjoyed this chat with you a lot. So thank you for inviting me. And I invite everyone who's listening and feels like a spark on wanting to connect or wanting to know more or whatever, to just come over to Instagram, which is the platform I'm mostly active on. You can just find me by Selena Martin _. My DM is very open. So that is probably the quickest, most direct way to connect and contact me. And then, of course, there's my website if you want some more in-depth information about the program that I'm currently doing and different ways that we could work with each other. And it's www.thisisalter.nl. But you know, you can just forget it, come to Instagram. It's way easier, way more direct. And yeah, hope to see you all there.
I'm sure people are going to come, Selena. I just have the feeling. I mean, yeah, you're so inspiring. So thank you so much for chatting to me today. I'm so happy, and yeah, hope you have a great rest of your sunny day today.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you for listening to the Magic and Mindfulness podcast. The podcast designed for the modern mystic and spiritually curious. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to follow us on Instagram to stay connected. And before we close, I'd just like to end with a very special thank you to my co-producer, George Lasbury. Stay well and see you soon.